Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Working from behind. Martin will take that one to right field. Sean Green going back. Didn't get a good read. That's going to bounce off the wall. Late start for Kent. They got a shot at the plate. Here's the relay. Valentin in time. And he's out. Second runner. He's out. He got a ball. Got a ball. Kent is out. Drew is out. At the plate.
LaDuca doesn't see J.D. Drew coming. Now watch this. Here comes J.D. Drew following him around. Now watch the tag. LaDuca makes the tag. He doesn't know. Now he looks up. Here comes J.D. Drew right behind him.
How about that?
Paul LaDuca with his Carlton Fisk impression. That's from ESPN and the 2006 NLDS against the Dodgers, which the Mets won. Unfortunately, they lost a seven-game series to the Cardinals in the NLCS. Right now, here on Hit and Run on the Score, Barry Rosner, Joe Ostrowski with you for another hour and a half. Let's go out to the Score hotline where we're joined by the aforementioned Paul LaDuca, 10-year big league catcher, four-time All-Star, now an analyst for the Action Network and the NYRA. You can follow him on Twitter at PaulLaDuca16. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good, man. I apologize for last week. But glad to be on, man. I've been looking forward to it.
No problem. We understand these things happen from time to time. All right, so now that the Supreme Court has ruled in favor or against the former regulation and has ruled in favor of sports gambling, as mandated by the states, what do you think is going to happen around the country? From our standpoint here in Illinois, which is probably the most backward state in the country, not named California.
Yeah, right.
I personally am not optimistic. What do you think is going to happen on a state-to-state basis?
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to really, truly be a process. You know, Monmouth Park, that was actually the first place that I worked at when I got into horse racing at a full-time basis. And they've had those machines ready to pump parlays and tickets out for a couple of years now. I knew New Jersey's been fighting forever. It keeps getting backed up and backed up. And I think it's finally going to happen there. When it comes to the other states, I don't know how it's going to trickle in, what the timeline is. I do think the way they're handling it, if you do look at the next states that they're mentioning Iowa, who has a racino in Prairie Meadows. They're mentioning West Virginia, who has a racino in Mountaineers. Yep. They're mentioning a lot of states where they have racinos or they have casinos that have the tote system, I think, to handle. And this way, they won't have to completely rebuild a tote system to punch out the tickets. Maybe they could just put in a new program. But I'm with you. Like, you know, it got passed. You think they should be punching tickets already out at Monmouth Park, and now the people that I know there, that I've talked to, they're thinking now maybe June 1st.
Paul, I haven't agreed with everything that Manfred has said or done, but he's no idiot, and he understands that baseball can gain a ton with gambling, so he's been behind it. How much do you think it can help baseball, and do they stand to benefit the most of all the sports?
Well, I wouldn't call him not an idiot, because he caused collusion by himself by juicing the baseball, so he is an idiot. But yeah, listen, they all going to benefit, you know? From it. It's just like anything else. And if they want a piece of the pie, they are going to get some. And let's be honest, everybody plays. Everybody wagers on games. Only reason there's Thursday night football on ESPN is because why? You can wager on it. Yeah. No one cares about Louisiana Tech against another small school unless you went to those schools or unless you have a wager on it. So, you know, a lot of the commissioners are starting to get it, but they're not getting it in some aspects. It seems to me like Adam Silver has been the one that's completely you know, truly has gotten it and is the one that's embraced it from day one and realizes, hey, the whole world does gamble. Let's do this legally. If we can cut the players in, we can. Let's do this the right way. But, yeah, to get back to Manfred, he caused his own collusion. And then, you know, my daughter can hit 15 home runs with and strike out 150 times the way the rest of the league is doing now. And then he claims, oh, maybe the baseball was juiced. The guys in 2002 were on rocket fuel, and they shattered records last year. So I'm sorry. I had to say something to you on the idiot call.
No, that's fine by me. I understand exactly what you're saying.
At least one of us here completely agrees with you on the idiot part of it.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, I was just getting at the point that he understands that gambling would help his sport.
Yes,
but Paul, I mean, it is rough to watch sometimes with the three true outcomes that we're talking about with all the strikeouts, strikeout a homer every single day.
Yeah, and the other part of this is the umpiring. Let's be honest. Guys bet on the umpiring. Angel Hernandez still having a job is a joke. If I had made as many mistakes as Angel Hernandez did in his career, I would have spent maybe a month to 2 months in the big leagues. That's honesty. People don't ever want to say it. Joe West is a joke. He's been a joke for a long time. Bach and Bob Davidson, who finally retired, was awful. So you had awful umpires, and it's, you know, that has part to do with some of the gambling too as well, and it is tough to watch sometimes. It is. I mean, they get the replays wrong. And when you get that aspect about it, people are going to start getting sensitive. And I think that's what the leagues are worried about more than anything else. Do under-the-breath gamblers that gamble maybe illegally or with a bookie or with a sports book, do they get pissed at that guy making a mental mistake or an umpire making a bad call or a manager, you know, pulling a pitcher out? It's going to get escalated times three when the whole nation's got money riding on it.
But the thing is, Paul, is that, and this is my argument for that, if you have regulated gambling, you can much more easily detect any sort of strange betting patterns, whereas now people who are betting offshore or with the local guy, you know, behind the cleaners, in the back room of the cleaners, if they're doing something strange because they've got some inside information, it's not going to show up anywhere. And similarly, if there's some sort of a problem with something that somebody doesn't like, it's going to be more easily detected if it's nationally regulated.
I agree with you. And let's be honest, if you want to do it right, you want to write it off in your taxes. You want to like track your betting. If you've lost, you've lost. You cut against your losses, and you want to be able to when you do your taxes in April. But yeah, that's actually a good point. It's going to get regulated a lot more. I mean, I think with all the match fixing that happened in the past over in Europe in tennis, I know there's been like three or four, and it needs to get regulated. Horse racing is regulated a lot more, although there's a lot of ADWs. So, but it's regulated a lot more on whether if a race was fixed or not. And I don't think that really happens anymore. But yes, you need to be ethical in a lot of different areas. A lot of things need to be tightened up. I understand where you're going there.
We're visiting with Paul LaDuca. He is an analyst for the Action Network and the NYRA.
Paul, a little over now a quarter of the season through, and I'm thinking maybe you can find some value on different divisions around baseball if you think there's a team second, third, or fourth that can possibly pop up and jump up and win that division. Let's start in the AL West. Do you think the Angels at plus 450 or the Mariners at plus 650 have a shot?
I really feel that both of them don't have a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're going to take the plus money, maybe you roll with the Angels and the Ohtani, I guess, fever somewhat, considering the Dodgers are down a tiny bit, although the Dodgers had a giant sweep yesterday of that doubleheader against Washington. It just shows you what Justin Turner does to that lineup. It's just the Astros. To me, I think the Astros, you know, after winning the championship, they didn't rest on their laurels. They went out and they got more pieces, and that's what I love more. The one person they lost was Alex Cora, who was their bench coach, and now the manager in Boston. So I'd probably stay away from both. I do think the Mariners are going to hang around a lot longer than people think. They got some solid pitching in that ballpark, and they play very solid, sound baseball. So I think a lot of people are, oh, yeah, the Mariners are sort of a surprise. I don't know. I think they're going to hang around a little bit longer. But, like, maybe the Angels, because maybe Ohtani can give them a more of a spark, but I just don't see it happen. I don't think there's just enough there around Trout. I don't know if Albert has got enough left in the tank to, you know, get the Angels past the Astros. Plus, the Astros are so young and still rising forward, you know?
A former teammate of Robbie Cano came out and said he wasn't surprised at all, and Mark Teixeira. What was your reaction to the 80-game suspension?
Just the stuff that the guys come up with are masking agents and this and that. That's my problem I have with Major League Baseball. Come out and say what it was. Because you have some guys that will get popped for maybe a workout drink that sometimes will have something in it that's on the MLB testing list. Now, you're supposed to send everything to the MLB testing company and say, hey, can I work out on this? Is this good for me or not? Obviously, if you're not sending it to them, it's borderline. Some guys do, some guys don't. Over-the-counter stuff at GNC usually works. But then when you're taking a masking agent and this and that, you know, I tend to stay away from the comments, because the problem that I have with all of this is you have one error where they blackballed guys that did it, and now you have an error where the guys get million-dollar contracts after they did it, hence Melky Cabrera, hence Nelson Cruz, hence probably Robinson and Cano afterwards. It's so hypocritical, it drives me nuts. I don't even want to talk about it.
How about Brian Cashman leaking to all of his favorite writers in New York that the Yankees knew this was coming, that's why they didn't re-sign him? They offered him $180 million.
Yeah, they knew this was coming, just like aces and the agents' aces. They've had like 17 guys pop, yet Major League Baseball won't go after them. MLB covers for all these guys, and it's because MLB and cannot investigate. MLB can't investigate agents. That to me is unbelievable. So then you got the Players Association covering up for the agents, because the Players Association are trying to get their players the most money. How do you get the most money? By putting up bigger stats. So what happened last year? They juiced the baseball, and everybody else is still juicing, whatever, and guys are hitting home runs at an enormous rate. And then the best part about this whole thing is what was the objective 2 years ago? The pace of the game. It's gotten longer. I mean, it's gotten longer.
Well, they don't.
It's literally clowns leading clowns.
Yeah, they want more scoring. Well, if there's more scoring, does the game get longer or shorter? And if you won't call the high strike, does the game get longer or shorter? They talk about moving the strike zone up, so they're not going to call the low strike anymore. No one's ever going to swing the bat.
You can't change rules. First of all, you can't break up a double play anymore. You can't run over a catcher. A pitcher can lick his fingers on the mound, and he's still getting lit up. He can lick his fingers on the rubber. Like, the integrity of the game, it's becoming a joke, and you wonder why baseball's starting to fall behind and behind and behind, is that you're messing with the best game. The thing about baseball is it has no time limit. Let the game play. That's the beauty of it. You bring your son to the game. You might catch a foul ball. You go get a hot dog. If you're going to a baseball game thinking it's going to be 2 hours, you're not a baseball fan.
Paul, there's some rules in hockey where they've tried to make it safer, and they've actually made the game more dangerous. When I watch catchers now not aware of a runner coming down the line, or I see second baseman or shortstops unaware of a runner coming at them because they think they're absolutely safe and that no one can touch them, in a way it's become more dangerous. Do you think these rules, I know you referred to it a moment ago, do you think some of these rules have actually made it unsafe for the players?
Yeah, you can be, because you rest on your laurels a tiny bit. I remember when a throw would come from right field, yeah, I would be worried a lot about a guy. I had, you know, an eye about my left ear, making sure, and, you know, his intention, if he's trucking or not, and I need to get out of the way, because I needed to make the decision whether I had a shot to get this guy at home plate while the ball was in midair, and whether I'm going to lay my body out and take one for the team, or am I going to try to swipe tag this? Do I got a chance of that? Or am I just going to catch this and I got him out by a mile? And then the other aspect is he going to be completely safe and it's not worth me losing my life and getting killed? What's happening now is, you're right, guys turning double plays, we're used to getting maybe taken out, or guys at home plate maybe used to getting taken out, are now making it a tiny bit lax. And now the slides are taking it, you know, if they're a little bit out of bounds, guys are taking it a little bit personal. And the second basemans aren't really turning double plays with more full of zest, I guess, like they used to, because they know they don't have to worry about the runner bearing down on them. That's almost like going to like a YMCA to go play basketball, and you're not supposed to get hurt. And you go, you know what? I'm going to go out and not get hurt. Just go out there and shoot jumpers. That's when you do get hurt, and when you're not trying to get hurt. So I understand where you're going there. I just think the game has just gotten a little bit soft. And, you know, what happened in Boston with that slide was a joke earlier in the year.
Paul, I heard you tell this story, and I'd love if you can share it with our listeners. It's just phenomenal. We've got time. Can you please tell the story of when you won 80K on the Kentucky Derby?
Oh gosh, that was that's an unreal story. I was in LA at the time with Mike Smith, the jockey. Actually, just won yesterday with Justify. Mm-hmm. And he had told me about a horse named Giacomo. He had not broken his maiden yet. I had bet him to win. He was 6-1 that day. I bet him to win, and scored out a little bit. So then I started following him, and he always was progressing. And he ran third in the Santa Anita Derby. And I remember calling him on the day of the Derby, like, hey, I really feel there's a ton of speed in the race. Not that good of a field. You got a big shot to win. After he had won his maiden, I had played some futures in Vegas on the horse. And then I had sent my buddy over to Calder, old Jewel Robbie Stadium, where you played over in Miami.
Yeah, it's right next
door. Before the new stadium. Yeah, you could throw a rock. It's right there. So I sent my buddy over there with all my plays. I'm all lined up. The whole nine yards, I'm ready to go. Now, your normal start time on a Saturday, 7:10. The Marlins decide to start at a 6:05 start, or 5:25 start, that got delayed, actually. It was raining. It was raining. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Because the Preakness, you know, it's gotten farther and farther. They used to start at like 5:30. Now, yesterday, I was like 6:40. It was like, it ended up being like 6:25. So now the game starts at like 6:15. And I'm like, no way. I got all this money riding on this long shot, and I'm not going to be able to watch the race. So we're out there in the middle of the field, and Beckett's throwing, and I look in the dugout, and there's like Dontrell Willis, you know, Conine and Lowell, and they're all, you can see them pointing towards the dugout, like, hey, they're in the gate, they're getting ready to go. And I'm sitting out here in the middle of the field going, I can't do anything. Next pitch, Beckett throws a 6-4-3 double play. So I ran into the dugout, and I just had no whereabouts. You know, I wasn't thinking of anything. I was just sort of thinking of one thing, going in there, watch the race. So I just took off my mask and my helmet. So I still had my...
That's a long walk, though, Paul. Visitors dugout at Joe Robbie, back to the clubhouse. That's a long walk.
Well, no, I was actually with the Marlins at the time.
Oh, so sorry. Okay.
Here's what happened. I bet the horse with LA. I missed the point. I had got traded, right? So now I'm in there in 2005. I had bet him as a two-year-old. Now I'm fully with Florida in 2005. And you're right, it is still a long walk. Joe Robbie had like a carpet there that you had to walk. So I'm like running down this thing. I get in the clubhouse, and they're on the backside. They're running. I'm like, where's he at? Where's he at? And you can't see anything at the top of the stretch. You really can't find them. I was looking around, and all I remember Tom Durkin is going, and here comes Giacomo. I remember that. And then I look, and he's crossing the wire. I am literally going nuts. I had all the clubhouse kids. They had played, some of the clubhouse guys. Phones are ringing inside the clubhouse. And so then I get a knock on the door on the clubhouse, and it's the Bat Boy. And he's like, well, Duca, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean, man? He's like, you are up. I'm like, what? I'm like, I totally forgot that I hit second in the lineup. And, like, the umpire literally was sitting there waiting for me, right? So I come walking out, still got all my gear on. And I look, and Trader Jack McKeon, who is my manager, never got my name right. He goes, DeLuca, what are you doing? I was like, I was in the bathroom, Jack. Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, everybody's in the, I can see Mike Lowell. Those guys were in there. They all had won money. We're all going nuts. I get up and I put on my thing. I tap the catcher. I'm like, hey, man. And I told the umpire, I'm like, I'm sorry. I just won $80,000 on the Kentucky Derby. Tell him to throw it right down the middle. Don't worry about it. I'm going to ground out. I grounded out right to shortstop. That was the best 6-3 I've ever had in my life. Ever. $80,000 richer.
Oh, man. That's phenomenal. Could I just tell you, though, the minute you said Giacomo, my heart broke again because I had win money on Giacomo. He was one of the three horses I played that day. A small wager on Giacomo. I also was going to play all three of the horses that I liked both ways in an exacta. And at about 5 minutes to post, I scratched off Giacomo because I just didn't want to spend that much money, and the exacta paid $10,000. And
you had the 19 horse? That was one of the much. I know Fleet Alex was third that day. I forget who the 19 horse was that day. Wow, that was
enormous. I scratched it out. So
I do know this.
Yeah.
Madcap Escapade, or Dubai Escapade, I forget the name of the filly. It's one or the other, mom or dad. She was 2-5 that day. She was in a pick four. If she would have won the pick four, I had a $20 pick four. I would have hit actually for $250,000 if that horse would have won.
My God.
And I got beat with that race. And listen, I'm not complaining winning $80,000. But, yeah, it was so surreal. Like, very rarely do you, I wasn't that guy that, you know, I tell stories, and I've told a couple stories. The other one was when I was in Vegas when I bet Point Given. But I never bet in the middle of the game. It just happened to mean I made my bets, and that was fun during the middle of the game. And just the way it played out. I remember when I walked out, the umpire was so pissed off at me. They had to be waiting for, like, I mean, the race is 2 minutes. I was jumping up and down. I lost track of time. They had to be waiting for at least 3 minutes. 3 minutes is pretty long in baseball.
Oh, so. Pace of play, Paul. You've been killed today.
Right? Maybe I'm the one that caused the pace of play. Maybe that's why Manfred's mad at me.
Oh, Paul, this has been a lot of fun. We didn't get to half of what we wanted to talk to you about, so we will have you on again, and we will get to some of that
definitely.
Stuff. But we appreciate your time today. Thanks very much.
I got to ask both of you, because I know you guys both like to fire. What are your two favorite sports to play?
You're going to laugh, but I love to play golf.
I actually have fallen in love with it, but go ahead.
Last year, I had an unbelievable year, not just on the PGA Tour, but also winning in Europe, winning on the European Challenge Tour and the Web.com Tour. It was ridiculous. Joe will vouch for me. It was just week after week after week. I just kept finding guys at big numbers. It was crazy.
Joe?
Yeah, I've actually, Barry's got me to fall in love with golf for the last couple of years, but I've got to go baseball, especially now.
Yeah, really?
Just because, Paul, I think there's such an advantage. The way it's set up right now, you have so many teams that are trying to lose every game, and then you have those 7-8 super teams that there's value. There's ways to make money most days.
Yeah, I hear you. I still haven't. You know, I'm writing from the Action Network as my point of view, my thing, and I hope that people will follow me. I'm going to give out baseball picks. I've never bet on a baseball game. I truly haven't. Wow. You know, Pete Rose was my idol. I mowed lawns for 100 years to wait for his rookie card, and it broke my heart. I'm out of it now, so I can do it, and I might start. Black Jack Fletcher got me playing hockey, which I like. I've actually been rolling with Tampa Bay the last couple games, but yeah, I understand what you're saying when in baseball with the dominating pitching and the way the strikeout is, you can really find mismatches. And I think, you know what the key is going to be? You make a great point. Kansas City,
Miami, White
Cincinnati,
Sox,
Miami. When they get to later in the year, I don't care how much money you have to lay. They're going to lose. They're going to go 3-17 stretches, 4-16 stretches. You're going to win money over the long haul towards the end of the year when those teams are just done playing and done losing. So I think towards the end of the year, you can make some money playing against just bad teams, sort of like the NBA tanking towards the end of the year. So
hey, you bet football, right? I mean, you just have to. We know you're not going to make money on the long haul in football, but how do you not?
You have to, right? I mean, I love playing college football because college is like, to me, I feel like they show up. NFL is impossible, but you love playing it.
Yeah.
And so is the NBA. It's impossible.
Yes.
You love playing it. If I had one sport, I love college basketball. I mean, I love horses, obviously, but I really keep up on college basketball. I like to read all the magazines. I like to read all the blogs and the kids that are coming in, look at all the videotapes, because there's so much overhype when it comes to basketball. I actually was an okay basketball player, but you have these kids that play in certain areas that look like monsters, and really they may be not. And I'll give you one team before I get off. Nevada, if the Martin twins come back, Caleb Martin and I forget the other kid's name, they're both legit, and they made it to the Sweet 16 this year. They have signed two kids over 6'10 that are transferred that average 14 at Lehigh and 15 at another place, and they just signed a top 25 recruit. They'll be top 5 in the nation. And they got 12 days to find out. If those Martin twins come back, play some money on Nevada to win the national championship.
That'd be a good number, too.
Paul, thank you for your time. Yeah. We really appreciate it. We will get to you again sometime in the next month or two.
Sounds great, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.